amazing Easter services. If you were here with us, Pastor taught about coming out of the cave. Jesus came out of the grave, but we called it the cave. We talked about coming out of the cave and how God sent Jesus, and he didn't stay in his cave. He doesn't want us to stay in ours. He wants us to come out of our cave as well. Jesus died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He went to heaven. He's the reason you're here. But before he went to heaven, I'm going to say before. Before, he spent 40 days here on earth. And that's what we're going to talk about today, the after Easter story. We're going to take a little journey, a 7-mile journey. 40 days. And what Jesus chose to do with those 40 days are very interesting. Because if you had 40 days left to live, you can shout me down a little bit. 40 days left to live. What are some things you would do 40 days? You would go camping. Oh, man. Camping, I pray for you. Sounds so boring. Camping, I'd go camping. I'm like, I wouldn't. I feel like I camp every night. when the baby tries to kick me out the bed and I got to go sleep in the living room sometimes, that feels like camping. I wouldn't go camping. I wouldn't go camping. I'm just saying. What else would you do 40 days, 40 days? Eat. You'd eat a lot of food. Who would you go see? Family. You'd hang out with people you like. Jesus hung out with two dudes we didn't even know their names. Two dudes who weren't close to him. Jesus, one of his first things he did with his last 40 days is he spent time with two guys. We're going to talk about one's named Cleopas, and the other dude, we have no idea his name. I guess he wasn't that important, but Jesus is the God to the unimportant. He's the God even when we don't feel important, even when you don't seem important. Let's jump into Scripture here. We're going to start our journey in Luke chapter 24. Verse 13, we're going to come back to this story a lot, but we're going to start here. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus. About 7 miles, say seven, is an important number. It's the number of completion. They're going to take this journey a lot. You're going to see 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. So we're going to take this 7-mile journey with these guys. And what was going on is Jesus said, I'm going to die, but I'm going to come back to life. I'm going to come back. I'm going to go out of the grave. I'm going to leave my cave. And so stay here. Wait for me. These guys are like, okay, we believe you, Jesus. But then something happened. In that 3 days, just 3 days, I only asked them to wait 3 days. Something happened in those 3 days, and they started doubting. Something happened, and they lost their way a little bit. And what we're going to find out today is in doubt, you have the choice. You can turn to God, or you can turn away from him. And they started walking 7 miles in the opposite direction. Jesus said, stay in Jerusalem, wait for me. And they said, you know, we thought he was the one. We thought he was God. But it's been 3 days and nothing's happened yet. And so they go on this journey. They start this track. They go on this track. Reminds me of a racetrack. Reminds me of a story, something that happened in my life a few weeks ago. And do you know what this is? We're going to talk about this real quick, speaking of racetracks. Anybody know what this is? Tell me. It's a video game. Yes, you're so smart. This is a Nintendo 64 controller. This is an off-brand Nintendo 64 controller because I love a bargain, and Pastor Josh knew that. So as a Christmas present, he got me an off-brand Nintendo. Let me just point that out. That's how much he likes me. I'm just kidding. No, he knows. He knows I like a bargain. He got me an off-brand Nintendo 64 controller. Here's why. Because I like a bargain, but when you come to my house, we're not playing my Xbox One, and we're not listening to Spotify. We're playing the Nintendo 64, and we're listening to the record player a little bit because I'm nostalgic, but also because I'm too cheap to buy good Wi-Fi. And so you can't play the Xbox even if you wanted to. It would say, you turn it on, it says, nope, try again later. Right? And then if you turn on the Xbox and a Spotify, burst into flames. Pray for my wife, or she got a cheap husband and won't buy the good Wi-Fi. So you come to my house, we're playing the Nintendo, we're listening to the record player, we're not playing the Xbox, don't even ask about it. And so one of my favorite games to play was Mario Kart. And if you ever played Mario Kart, raise your hand. If you ever played Mario Kart or any racing video game, the goal is to what? It's to come in first to win. But what do you do in the game? You go all around on a track. And the goal is to stay on the track, to win, but to stay on the track. And so Mario Kart, the old version, there's 3 laps. And it doesn't matter if you win the first lap. It doesn't matter if you win the second lap. You gotta come in first on that 3rd lap. And they kind of make it even because they give you items. If you're in last place, they give you items to try and knock out the first player, like this lightning bolt that I'm wearing here. And if you get the lightning bolt, you're like, oh, yeah, you're going down. And you screen look a little bit and wait till the perfect moment. And then you hit that lightning bolt and the other people go, oh! And so I tell you this story because this story is about It's not about my crazy baby. I got an awesome 2-year-old. I got a really crazy 6-pound dog that looks like a squirrel. A dog lover came up to me first service. He doesn't look like a squirrel. He does. Squirrel, 6 pounds. Probably smaller than a squirrel. And then I got a beautiful wife. We've been married almost 4 years. And my wife is so good. Let me tell you, let me just brag on Selena a little bit. She's so good at so many things. She's a great cook. She's a great mother. She's a great wife. She's way better with her words than I am. She's a blogger. Like, she's amazing. One thing she's not so good at is video games. I'm better at video games than her. Well, a lot of the reason is because when she was 15, she was working at a burger joint preparing for a future. I was at home eating burgers playing video games, right? So I'm better at video games than she is. It's just, it is what it is, you know? I have a lot more experience. So we're playing Mario Kart, and usually she's not doing so hot, but she's winning. She's winning the first lap. And she's winning the second lap, and she starts to get a bigger lead, and she's excited. And the third lap comes, and she can see the finish line. It's there. It's you can grab it. It's right there. She's excited. I'm excited for her. The other guy there with us, he's excited. And all of a sudden, she's going to win, and she's right there. And the screen froze. She's going to win. There it is. Pause. What? What happened? We got the controller. We're pushing all the buttons. We're looking at the things, and it's not working. And so we look down, and my 2-year-old, Titus, he's holding the Nintendo in his hands. If you know these old video game systems, you don't touch them. Don't breathe near them. He's got it up in the air. Mama, dada, play. Game. Titus, game. Play. Win. No! She was going to win. In that moment, you just laugh. You just start cracking up, right? Because it's a video game. Someone loses a video game, it's no big deal. You turn it off, you turn it back on, you start over. But what's so real about that story is that happens in life. You're winning. Life's going good. There's the promotion. There's the raise. They love you. They're coming to church. The addiction's gone. The doctor said there's healing. The doctor said the cancer is gone. And then bam, cancer. Bam, you're in debt. Bam, addiction. Bam, they don't come home anymore. They don't love you anymore. Your kids want nothing to do with God. And life detours happen. In life, doubt starts to creep in because we're imperfect and we're humans. In our humanity, we get off track, and doubt happens, and that's what we're going to talk about this morning. Say doubt. Doubt had these guys so far off track that they kind of forgot who Jesus was. Let's keep reading. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and he walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them named Cleopas, we're going to call him Cleo. Cleo asked, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened?" He gets a little sassy with Jesus. "What things?" Jesus asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "the prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all people, the chief priests and all the rulers. They ruled over him to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it's the third day since it all took place." He said he was going to come back, and he hasn't yet. And so now we're walking in the wrong direction. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they didn't see Jesus. And all our friends are telling us he's alive, and the Bible tells us he's alive, and he told us himself he's alive, and you're right in front of us, but I'm still having doubts. I still don't believe. And they were so far in this trap of doubt on the wrong track that they started going 7 miles in the wrong direction, away from their miracle. When doubt happens, if doubt happens, you've got a choice to make. You can turn to God. You can let that doubt turn into faith by pursuing God. Or you can let doubt win. And you can end up 7 miles in the wrong direction. These guys forgot. They forgot. Even when he was standing right there with them, they forgot who Jesus was. They got so caught up in the darkness that they forgot about the one who brings the light. The light was standing there with them. The light was trying to show him the way. And we'll learn in a little bit why Jesus didn't reveal himself right away. He was letting them learn something. But it reminds me of this story in Joshua. Do you guys know who Joshua is? just recap a little bit. Moses, and he fled in, back in the book of Exodus. He helped the Israelites flee from Egypt, and he did all these amazing things. And plagues happened. Bugs came down from heaven, and the angel of death came, and they were smearing lamb's blood over the doorways, and the Red Sea, and all this parting, and all this amazing stuff happened. And so Moses died. Joshua led them around Jericho, and Joshua did some amazing things, and he's about to die. And so he's given them a covenant renewal, the Bible calls it. He's given them a final charge. He's trying to hype them up like the team in the locker room. You can do this. Let's look back. Let's read the word. Let's look back. Let's remember what God did. We're going to look back so we can spring forward to remember. And what he does in Joshua 24:7, he says this. We're going to read this verse where he says this one thing. He could have talked about so many things that God did with Moses. He could have talked about so many things God did with himself, where they walked around the walls of Jericho and this huge city just fell from music, from praising God. But he doesn't talk about that. Here's what he says. Joshua 24:7, his final charge to the people. He said, "But they cried to the Lord for help, and he put darkness between you and the Egyptians. He brought the sea over them and covered them. You saw with your own eyes what I did to the Egyptians. Then you lived in the wilderness for a long time." He chose not to talk about all the amazing things that happened. The one thing he mentions is the darkness. He said, God allowed darkness to happen so that you could see him. When's the last time you thanked God in the darkness? Now, we're not talking sin, we're talking circumstances. We're talking circumstances because life happens, doubt happens, dark circumstances happen in our life. When's the last time when you were in those, you were praising God? You were reading your Bible. You were praying. You were in church lifting your hands, because it's easy to do that when life's going great. But what about when we're in the darkness? When's the last time you thank God in the darkness? When's the last time you thank God for the darkness, for the dark circumstance? God, I don't know what you're doing, but you're doing something. Because your word says you're going to work all things out for good for those who love him. So I'm going to trust you. I'm going to keep on this path. I'm going to keep on this track. I'm going to keep going. I'm not going to give up. When's the last time you said that? It's so easy, church, to fall off God's path, to fall off the track, to get out of the loop. One of my favorite preachers, Pastor Stephen Furtick, says, "The blessing in your life," amen, hallelujah, "the blessing in your life may not be what God removes, but what he gives you the strength to endure." We see just one-sided. We're human. So we think that's the goal. That's what I want. But God's saying, no. The blessing in your life may not be what God removes, but what I give you strength to endure. You see that and you think that's the goal, but you're not seeing what I'm seeing, that this path might be the goal. This path that you're on, that I'm going to lead you through, that if you have faith and endure and stay on the straight and narrow and follow me and keep me close, that you're going to, if you don't quit, you're going to win if you keep going. That might be the goal. That dark circumstance. So when's the last time we thank God in the darkness? When's the last time we thank God for the darkness? We're talking about faith this morning. Say faith. We're talking about doubt. Say doubt. And they're very different. Here's the first definition. I looked them up so I wouldn't get it wrong. I did. Faith, complete trust or confidence in someone or something. God calls us to have faith in him. Complete trust. More than trust, faith. Complete trust and confidence. And then doubt. A feeling of uncertainty. Very different. God doesn't want us to doubt. He wants us to trust him. You're going to see that he calls these guys a name in a minute for doubting. Now he doesn't call them the name because they doubted. It's because what they chose in the doubt. They chose to go away from God. If doubt happens in your life, some of you are new Christians, and doubt's going to happen. God wants us to look for him in the doubt. He wants us to search him in the doubt. He wants us to turn to him in the doubt, not away from him. If doubt happens, what are you going to do about it? Who are you going to look for in the doubt? Because he's the God in the doubt. He's still God in the doubt. He's still God on the detour. We might think, oh, God's just the God of the finish line. Well, he's the God of the detour and the first step and the second step and the third step. And even when things go wrong and even when I doubt and even when I fall off a little bit, he's still God. He's still there. What are you going to do when you doubt? Let's go back to the story. Jesus said to them, "How foolish you are. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken." He calls them fools, but he's still with them. He didn't leave them there. "You're being a fool, but I still love you. You're being a fool, but I'm not going anywhere. You're being a fool, but I'm still with you. Amen. How foolish you're being. Slow to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter into his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he started to explain to them what was said in the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village where they were going, Jesus continued. He continued on as if he was going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Please stay with us, for it's nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, he gave thanks, he broke it, and he began to give it to them. Then their eyes were open, and they recognized him. He disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning with us while he walked with us on this road and opened the scriptures to us?" Then their hearts started to burn. They walked 7 miles with Jesus, and they couldn't recognize him. But he started preaching scripture. He started looking back. He started reading the Bible, and then he broke the bread, and then their eyes were open. Here's what's really cool about that is back in those days when someone would break bread at a meal, they would break it like this. They would take the loaf, break it, and then present it this way. And so when Jesus presented it, guess what they saw? They saw the scars. They saw the holes in his hands where the nails were. And then they believed. Because the nails were there. They're not there anymore. Your nails, your things that you struggle with, they're not there anymore. They're not wounds. They're not still bringing you down because you are a new creation in Christ, but they're scars. You ever look back and say, "God, why do you let me remember this thing that I went through?" And God's saying to you, the reason you remember it is because that thing that happened, that scar, that's going to lead someone else to Jesus. His scars led them to him. His scars, the Bible, they read the Bible, and then the scars led them to him. Your scars are there for a reason. Your testimony is powerful. Sienna's testimony is powerful. It's going to lead people to Jesus. Another one of my favorite pastors says this. Another one of my favorite preachers. You ready for this one? If you need grace, pray. If you need faith, read your Bible. Pastor Michael Hurley. Come on. If you need grace, pray. I don't know if it's his or not, but we're just going to give him all credit today. If you need grace, pray. If you need faith, read your Bible. Jesus quotes scripture to them. They start looking back so they can propel forward. Similar with our testimony. God keeps that memory so we can look back to help us remember, I'm not where I want to be, but I'm sure as heck not where I used to be. We can look back so we can spring forward. If you need faith, read your Bible. If you need faith to get out of the darkness, I remember some of the dark times in my life when my best friend, my grandmother, passed away while I was on a mission trip. Or when my mom left the first time, and then the second time, I came home from another mission trip, and I was living with my mom, and my stuff was on the front lawn because a guy moved in and kicked me out. Or the time my girlfriend broke my heart, or another girlfriend, or this happened, or that time, all the sickness, all the disease, all the addiction. At the moment, I wasn't proud of it. The moment, I didn't like that it happened, but I can look back now and say, God, you were there. God, you were doing something. God, you led me out of the darkness. You were the God in the darkness. You're the God out of the darkness, and our testimony is there for a reason. God doesn't want us to go back, but you can look back and remember. That's why you have the scars. Not wounds. They're not still hurting you. God's the healer of wounds, but they're scars to look back and remember. Very important verse. This is the verse. Say this one. This one. If you remember something today, remember this verse, Romans 10:17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you need faith, if you need help to not doubt, get in your word of God. If you need a Bible, tell us. Tell the Fresh Start people. We want to hook you up. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. I need some help. Pastor Bob, will you help me with something? Are you cool with that? If you want to just come stand right here in the middle. You can sit on the stage. You can stand next to the stage. Just hang out right here in the middle. I'm going to use you in just a second. I want to read this scripture. You can face the people. You can face the people. Yeah, you can sit. You can stand. You're going to be there for a minute. You can sit. You can stand. This is Pastor Bob. He's one of the godliest people I know. I look up to him. And it's not because it's a pastor. It's because he's a follower of Jesus. And through all the Navy, through running a base, through everything he's been through in his life, he's still following Jesus. That's why he's one of the godliest people. I know Paul says it like this. Philippians 3, not that I have already obtained all this, or not that I've arrived at my goal, but I press on, say press on. I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind and straining toward what's ahead, I press on, press on, press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. A lot of us think the goal is here on earth, but the goal is in heaven. The goal is in the presence of God. While we're here, God created us here to love him and to love others. Love God, obey him, get in his word, pray, love other people. And so what we do is if Pastor Bob's the goal and we're starting way back here, we think Christianity is just this straight line. And once I accept Jesus, and then I get baptized, and then I get a Bible, and then I pray, nothing's ever going to go wrong, and God's going to bless me immensely, and I'm going to get lots of this and lots of that, and I'm going to hit the goal, and life's going to be great. But we know it doesn't work that way. We know we're humans, and we're imperfect, and so that's not how our path looks. Christianity, for us, isn't like a straight line, but more like a loop. Say a loop. More like a loop or a track. I'm going to come down there and hang out with you, Pastor Bob. Christianity, because we're fallible humans, is more like a loop. And so we start following Jesus, but then something happens and we might get off course. And there's Jesus back there, but I got off course. And I remember what God was doing, so I start back. But then something else happens, and maybe an addiction happens, or maybe cancer happens, or maybe that person doesn't love me anymore, and I start walking away from God. But I remember what he was doing, and I remember someone told me that one time at that place in Oak Harbor to read my Bible, and if I need faith to read my Bible. So I get in the Bible, and it says this. There's lots of promises of God. What are they? Oh, I'm glad you asked. I got some on the screen for you. Here's some promises of God. God will provide us with all our physical and spiritual needs. He'll finish the spiritual work that he's begun in us. He'll give us wisdom when we ask for it. He'll never leave or forsake us. He'll never allow our trials to be more than we can bear. Next slide. Come on, let's keep going. He'll give peace to us. He'll give us peace of mind. He'll forgive any and every sin when we repent. He'll make it possible for us to grow and become like Jesus. He'll cause everything to work for our good. And though we may stumble, and though we may get off course, and though we may waver this way and that way, you just keep going. Say, keep going. Just keep going and don't quit. Just keep going and just keep going and just keep reading that and keep speaking that over your life. And what happens is eventually you get close to the goal. God's saying, stay on track. Stay in the loop. Don't fall away. If you doubt, get back in, because I'm not where I want to be, but guess what I'm closer to than that? I'm not where I used to be. Praise God. I'm not where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. If I just stay on course. Stay on course. Keep your eyes on the prize. I tell the teenagers, keep the main thing the main thing. College is important. Everything you're doing in life is important. But here's the point of life. Stay on the path God has for us. Stay on the track. You can look back and say, don't look back and miss these things. Look back and say, oh man, I'm not where I want to be, but praise God, I'm closer than where I used to be. Amen. Can you give it up for Pastor Bob? He did a great job. And he looked good doing it. Yes, he did. Yes, he did. I hope I still have that much hair when I'm his age. It's not looking good for me. But we can pray, right? I'm not where I want to be, but praise God, I'm not where I used to be. Psalm 23, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff comfort me. And what we know about a shadow is there has to be light. To have a shadow, I learned this week. I should have learned it a long time ago, probably middle school science, right? But when there's a shadow, there has to be light. Jesus was there. He's not only the God of the finish. He's the God of the detour. He's the God of the first step. He's the God of the second step. He's the God in the midst of your darkness. He's there. When they didn't see him, when they didn't feel him, they didn't know who he was. But he was there with Cleo. And he's there with you. He's there. Let's finish the story. They got up and they returned at once to Jerusalem. They found the 11 and those with them assembled together. There were 12 disciples. Judas straight away, 11 stayed on course. 11 stayed in the loop. They found the 11 and they assembled together and they said, it's true. The Lord is risen. He's appeared to Simon and then he's appeared to us. Then the two told what had happened and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. They were recognized when he saw the nails. And the two, they get there, and the door's locked because these guys are afraid, right? They're having doubt. They didn't leave. They stayed. But they had a doubt. They locked the door. So these guys, they get to the door and they knock on the door and say, open up, open up. And in their best 15-year-old voice, oh my gosh, oh my gosh, it was Jesus. And he walked in and he killed the person. He killed us. Ah! They probably wet themselves a little bit. It was Jesus. We didn't know it. But then he started telling the story. We started looking back. Sorry if I offended 15-year-old girls. 12-year-old boys, too. It doesn't sound much different. Just saying. I've been there. He starts telling this story. Devontae's like, oh, I remember that. Woo, me too, man, me too. We're not going to go there. But they started telling they were excited. They walked 7 miles. They had to walk 7 miles back. Eventually, they walked 7 miles back to Emmaus. Stay with me here. Eventually, they walked 7 miles back to Jerusalem. They were walking this loop. They were walking this track, this course. It wasn't a straight line. There was probably more doubt later. Their lives didn't end perfect for Cleo and Buddy, Cleo and other. But they stayed on course. These guys locked themselves away because they were scared of the Romans finding them and killing them, but they didn't leave. They stayed the course. And so Jesus shows up. He hangs out with these dudes. I'm going to paraphrase for time. Jesus shows up. He hangs out with 10 disciples, Cleo and Buddy. And we ask, where's Tommy? Where's Doubting Thomas? Where's Tommy at? And so the disciples go and find Tommy and say, we saw him. Jesus appeared to us. And Tommy, imperfect in his humanity, a lot like us, he said, nah, you didn't. He said, I'm not going to believe unless I can see the holes, unless I can see the scars. His scars are going to help me believe. If I can put my hands where his holes are, that's going to help me believe. A week later, 7 days, it was complete. In 7 days, they saw. 7 days, they came back, again locked. The doors are locked. Still scared, but not leaving. They came in, and Jesus appeared to them again. Thomas got to see Jesus. He got to put his hands in the hole. Then he said to Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out and put it in my side. Stop doubting and believe. Say, stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Thomas said to him, my Lord, my God. And then Jesus said, because you've seen me, you've believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. He put his hands in the scars. Jesus' scars led people to him. Your scars are going to lead people to Jesus. Your story, your testimony are going to lead people to Jesus. Sienna's story is going to lead people to Jesus. Quinn's story, Aiden's story, your story, Josh's story, Bo's story is going to lead people to Jesus. Look how this ends. The last verse of John 21:31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah. All these words are written. This whole book, this whole chapter is written so that you may believe in Jesus, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name, in the name of Jesus. Do you want to believe? Do you need faith? Read your Bible. Pray. Don't just go to church. Don't just show up. Get plugged in. Join a life group. Pastor Josh will tell you. If you want to know more about it, he'll tell you. Join a life group. Get around a community of believers. Because, yeah, the one fell away. Didn't work out so well for Judas. But the rest of them were together. They were doing life together. They got to encourage each other. They prayed. They read their Bible. And then I got one more scripture. Before Jesus ascends to heaven about a month later, he says this, the Great Commission in Matthew. It says, therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. I'm with you, Cleo, even when you don't see me. I'm right in front of you in your dark circumstance. I'm right there next to you when you think God's not speaking to you. You can't see him. You can't feel him. He's still there. He's the God of the detour. He's the God in the darkness. He's the God in the light. He's there with you. He loves you. He sees what you're going through. He sees what you're going through. He sees that you're sitting in church alone today. He knows what happened in the past. He loves you. He's with you. He chose you. You're not too dirty. You're not too unclean. You're not too messed up. Stay on his path. There's a scripture that says, straight is the gate and narrow is the path. Pastor Josh and I were talking about it between services because it doesn't say anything about straight is the path. It says it's narrow, but it's not straight. It's got curves. It's got maneuvers. Stay in the loop. Stay on the path. Keep following Jesus. serve, tell the Great Commission, tell, obey, teach, go. Don't leave this message here. Take your scars and go teach. Go. Go tell other people about Jesus. Know him, because you got to know him before you can tell people about him. If you don't know Mario Kart, you're not going to tell people about Mario Kart. You got to know Jesus before you can tell people about him. Learn him. Open his word. Remember. And then go. And we got an opportunity for you to serve here at Life Church. I'm going to take just a moment and tell you about Kids Camp. Who's heard of our Kids Camp? Raise your hand. Yeah, you can make some noise for that. We do this every year, a vacation Bible school we call Kids Camp. This year it's happening June 25, 26, 27, 28. And we've got an opportunity for you to get plugged in. We've got opportunity for you to serve not just your church, but the community. This is a community thing. This is a going thing. This is a Great Commission thing. This is an opportunity for you to reach people. This is an opportunity for God to use you, no matter your gifts. We've got lots of opportunity, lots of areas for you to serve. Small groups, in the band, with the greeters, with the snacks, with the crafts. You say, I'm not good at any of that. You can smile, can't you? You can come and high five a preteen. Come and serve. And here's what we're going to do. If you sign up today, we're going to give you opportunity as soon as we leave. We've got lots of tables you can sign up at. You can see my friend Kendra out there. She'll sign you up. If you sign up today, I'm going to give you one of these shirts. In June, I'm going to give you one of these shirts just for signing up today. You got to sign up today, though. Don't do it tomorrow. So who's going to raise their hand? And who's going to say, I'm willing to sign up? I'm all in. I'm committed. I'm going to do it, whether it's one day, whether it's the whole week. I'm going to take time off work. Raise your hand. Say, I'll be there. Raise your hand. Say, I'm going to sign up. I'm going to make it work. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. Let me see you. You're there? You're committed? Well, Lonnie, I got a T-shirt for you. But I just feel like God wants me to give this to you. If it's the wrong size, let me know. But God's not done with you. He says, I want more for you. You know the scripture, and we're not very close. So I don't know this. I'm just hearing from God right now. You know the scripture, but now it's time to go tell people. Now it's time to use your influence in this community. Use your business. Use who I'm calling you to be the person I'm calling you to be. Can you go give that to Alani for me? God wants you to keep seeking after him. He wants you to not get discouraged in your doubt. There's a lady over here. I don't know her name. I'm sorry. I check in your kid in the nursery all the time. Your last name, I know your last name is Zinn. What's your first name? Marissa, God sees the hurt in your past. He sees what you're going through. And he says, just keep trusting me. Just keep getting your word, getting your Bible, pray. I don't know if you're in a life group or not, but do whatever it takes to get on my path and to keep trusting me, because God's got great plans for you and your family, for your kids. He says, just keep trusting me. God's saying that to you this morning, Bo. You know the scripture, but it's time to do something about it. It's time to serve. Take time off and serve at Kids Camp. Do something. It's God saying, trust me. God's saying, I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. God wants you to stay in the loop. Don't let the lightning bolt in the Mario Kart game, don't let that get you down. Don't let that keep you down. When the lightning bolt happens, you don't put down the controller. You keep going. Say, keep going. And here's our life application. We're going to end here, get you guys to lunch. But God says, stay in the loop. Say it with me, church. Stay in the loop. Don't give up. Don't get discouraged. Don't put the controller down. Keep going. Let's pray, church. Jesus, God, we thank you for what you're doing in this place. We thank you for what you're doing in our lives. We ask that you continue to speak to us, continue to move, continue to work. Don't let this stay here. I pray that we would know you, we would get in your word, we would pray, and we would take this message with us. We would take it into our schools, we would take it into our homes, and we would be more like you because of what we've heard today. Help us to stay in your loop. Help us to stay on your track. In Jesus' name we pray. Everyone said, amen.